For today's episode, John Coates returns to give us an update on all things related to RF safety. John will go into key details and salient topics, including the Trump phone, T1, the opportunity to set a new standard in tech health, sending cell towers to space, Li-Fi, his light fidelity that replace Wi-Fi, and the unseen damages and dangers of RF radiation, and the necessary repeal of Section 704. Please check out the show notes to links to Daylight Computer Company and Chroma Light Devices as they make an appearance of today's episode. John will give us very crucial information and help us kind of understand the harms related to these environments that are just consuming us at unseen and unpredictable rates of negative health. So here's my conversation with John Coates.
Hey, there's Ryan.
Hey, John.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Let's see if I can just set this here. Man, outstanding. I'm so glad to see you. All right. Let's see if I can move this picture. All right, man. So we got a lot to talk about today because, things started to make sense today. You know, like, it's really neat because, like, this is one of those days where we can actually go, wow, things starting to make sense. Like, you know, we looked at, like, why on earth could have, you know, Maha gone so quiet on the RF issue when it was such a big part of his campaigning, like, you know, with Kennedy. And, you know, even when you look at the facts with those, the review of the science was cut off at 2022, and the World Health Organization made some of its biggest announcements here in 2025. That they bring up the corporate capture in the other industries and don't mention a thing about the awesomely well-documented stuff from the telecommunications industry. So it's just kind of, you know, we've been so stumped on all that. And then, of course, even, you know, a little stumped by, you know, right out of the blue, Trump coming out and saying, hey, we need to add 600 megahertz spectrum to the big, beautiful bill. So there's all these things, expansion of spectrum, still no guidance on the FCC updating their guidelines as they were, you know, supposed to from the Court of Appeals. And, so there was all this confusion. But, you know, today I think that all came to light about what's really going on, because here we have Trump launching a phone today. So now everything really starts to make a lot more sense, doesn't it?
He launched a phone.
Hey, did you see that?
No.
Hours ago. Just hours ago. So this, hopefully we can make this into little segments that'll be really good for some exposure for you, because, this is going to be a hot topic. A lot of people are going to be looking up the Trump phone. It's called the T1, you know, and it's interesting because I was just watching the Terminator with my little girl. Well, because it started off with Mitchell's and the Machines, the kid version of basically the Terminator, where they start off with a phone, and then basically the phone gets arms and legs and then decides to take over the world. Which is, you know, really funny in the kid movie. She loves it. But then, you know, I started to, after she went to bed, I watched the Terminator. And it's like, you know, wow. It's like, so here's the T-100, or maybe it was the T-800 or whatever. But and here we're starting with the T-1, where it starts right in the palm of your hand. And interesting that the Trump phone is going to be probably one of the very first to use this 600 megahertz spectrum as far as a new device goes. And that'll be interesting just to see, I haven't been able to find an FCC ID number for who's going to be making this T1. So it's a little hard right now to figure out, you know, what the actual specs are, if it's going to be using the 666 megahertz frequency somewhere within it. There are already a lot of things that are just from this year, of course, that are already filing for this use of the 666. They call it, of course, 665.5. Neatly, they didn't really put 666 down, but But nonetheless, these are going to be waves that are going to be, everybody's so fearful about the 5G, but these are millimeter waves still, when you get into these older, like we've talked about how I feel that this whole thing has really started from the expansion of cordless phones in people's houses. I mean, when we start to really look at where autism and a lot of things started to happen in the world, it lines up with these early 1980s. And it just gets worse and worse and worse as we pile things on. But, when we got into these 800 megahertz and 900 megahertz frequencies, they were very, very, very penetrating and they go deep into the body. And, this 600 megahertz spectrum is going to be literally the most penetrating RF that we've ever used beyond the small cordless phones, but I'm talking at scale. 600 megahertz is going to be an extremely penetrating wavelength. And that means babies go back to being at risk again. One of the things that put me in comfort over the past 20 years, 30 years, I guess now, has been the adoption of shorter and shorter wavelengths meant that babies were going to be less and less affected. Like you couldn't make it all the way to the baby in the womb if the wavelength was short enough. Sure, there could be some cascading events and things like that that go on from the skin to this to that to that, but when it comes down to it, the wavelength wasn't able to just brute force affect the baby. But that's going to go out the window now. If 600 megahertz becomes a standard for 5G. We were going to be using the most penetrating wavelengths that there possibly are, at least, at scale for us today.
What's your estimation of how far that will penetrate?
Well, that's it has to do with the body and the medium in which it's going to be going into, but it's going to probably have no problem reaching a quarter wavelength, half wavelength, and it means that it can reach the baby, and that to me is terrifying, that it can directly reach the baby. I mean, it's terrifying even with the cascading effects of the mother being affected and then just harming the baby in that way. But when it can just reach the baby, that's where things like what happened to my firstborn daughter happen. And when the neural tube closes in that that third week, and when there's a lot of mitochondrial activity in there because it is folding. There's just a new structure is being formed, and as we might have spoke before, that I believe that the mitochondria are certainly a target in this. And that's why we see like the National Toxicology Program, the Ramsey Institute, all these, we're seeing heart and nerve and brain tumors, right? And what is the common denominator with those? It's mitochondrial load. And it's going to always, it seems like when you look at these studies, we're seeing it go from, like I said, from nerve to heart to kidney. These are all organs with a very high mitochondrial load in them. And that's why I think that's why we're seeing it. So in the human cord blood studies also kind of replicate this in the sense that as the cells become more differentiated, more mitochondria, there's a larger ROS impact. So I think all this is kind of lining up where, we just have to protect the, that we just, I don't know. My only hope here is that maybe we can put a spin on this whole horrific thing of adding a new phone to the market with all this, hype of how it's going to be better for people. Because Eric Trump, I guess it is, he was just on, the TV, saying how, they're going to be that they saw a shortcoming within the mobile industry, and that's why they're basically launching into it. And hopefully we can bring attention to the fact that there's a big shortcoming in their safety protocols of these devices. For Trump to actually put his name on it, with there being enough controversy around these devices, I would only hope that. Because of the Trump that I voted for, at least that's the one that I felt in my heart that I was voting for, is a guy that truly would put the American people first. And so if he's brought aware to it in a way that it just makes sense to him, hopefully he'll be able to even mandate the technology to be safer, because that's all it would take. Like, we could solve our RFR problem by offloading a lot of the terrestrial towers to space, getting them away from our kids, beaming all these uplinks would be going up and down rather than right through our walls and windows. Light-based networks. He could sign, just like the 1970s Clean Air Act, man. He could sign up an order, and literally overnight there would be people putting the proper chips into phones. I think it would be considered 802.11bb, standard, and that's an immediate standard that's available today that can just completely replace the Wi-Fi technology itself that's in phones. So you walk indoors, your phone would just stop transmitting in microwaves and would just start transmitting in IR light, and so many people within the light industry, they see it, this infrared light is being beneficial. And a matter of fact, I haven't even used it since because I've just been so busy. But I put my arm, I don't know if you can see this pretty gnarly bruise right here, but that's where the PCI went in and put a stent in my heart, had a heart attack over the the what was it? I don't know, 2 weeks ago now. But the bad time to have a heart attack is during the whole holiday thing, where everybody is kind of like the Memorial Day holiday. So it wasn't the best timing to have a heart attack. But I put my arm on one of these red light therapy bands. And literally, you can see white spots within the purple bruise where the LEDs lined up, where I had most contact on the LEDs. And that's kind of remarkable to me, because it's like a real, in real time, it showed me in real time that these LEDs in the infrared that was coming from them, it was certainly doing something. Because there's no reason for there to be like little round white dots where the LEDs were. I'm totally down with that. But when it comes down to it, with the light itself, we can use these same wavelengths that basically helped my arm heal. We don't have to use blue light or any of these bad wavelengths that we think are bad, but they also just have a place in our life as well. Blue light is just as important as all the other light, but it just needs to be balanced. But to think that we could start transmitting our data in the same stuff that healed the little spots on my arm everywhere that they made contact is, that's appealing, because now you're talking about wavelengths that can't reach a baby. Even if the room next to you has tons of wireless data going on inside of it, the room next to you is still RF free. There's such a benefit to using light-based technology, But maybe we should do something a little more structured so you can make some cool clips on maybe because the Trump phone thing is probably going to be a pretty, important, topic to address. I mean, I bet it's going to be getting a lot of traffic. Is there any things that you would like to ask about, like the phones or the Li-Fi technology? Because I'd just ramble forever, but I think today starts to make a lot of things make sense. That's what's really kind of cool to me, because we were just looking at just how there was such a drop off in the Maya report on RFR, and then we see this big call for expansion into 5G with the 600 megahertz, and then today we get a Trump phone.
I don't get it. I mean, oh my gosh. It's already such havoc with the lack of knowledge about your topic here. There's so many people that understand, like, they're a risk, but they don't know how to identify the risk or make sense of the risk. I'm willing to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, maybe we should talk about the Trump phone, and maybe what we think the Trump phone should have. We can start to begin with, one of my very first, products that I ever designed for this particular industry of mitigating RF was the interferometric array antenna that was used to challenge the hearing aid compatibility issue back in 2003. And when I made that antenna in the late 90s, it was completely illegal to use. You couldn't use it on a phone because it didn't follow the isostropic rule, it was called. And this isostropic rule was basically put in place because they wanted all phones to basically have the same connectivity amongst towers, because towers were kind of sparse in the early days and they just didn't want one company to have an advantage over the other. So essentially they just said everybody has to use what's called an isostropic antenna. And that's kind of the dipole, and it's the 360 degree flume that you basically see around it. The sun is a better version of isostropic, but so it's not totally isostropic, but that was the rule. So when I made my antenna, which was really just two antennas, we shot for the same principle that we see in nature. When you drop two pebbles into a pond, it creates an interference pattern. And when we have our dipoles or antennas, next to each other in a way that it cancels out an interference, that was basically the birth of what we now call, beamforming, from the original interferometric array antenna designs. And I came up with that design just thinking about nature and interference and seeing that it was already done in things like military radar and things like that. So it wasn't like it was a completely original idea. Nature had figured it out. We were already using it in military radar and astronomy and things like that. So it's not like interferometry was something that was that new, but it was the very first time it was ever attempted in a mobile phone antenna. And I did that in order to, I saw people in Aspen in the late 90s that were, they were putting these devices in their purses and handbags and just weren't thinking twice about the energy that was going into their torso and body. So that was I wasn't even really thinking about your head. I was more concerned about, when it went into a purse and it was near a baby. Because my whole thing was about the, babies after the loss of my daughter. So the head thing was just kind of a benefit. And so was the hearing aid thing. Because if it didn't transmit the energy directly into your head, it also didn't make the hearing aid buzz anymore. So as long as the hearing aid didn't buzz, that was a big breakthrough. Because if in the early 2000s, when you put a phone, to your ear with a hearing aid, it was just like when you put it near an alarm clock or anything with a speaker, it just made a loud buzzing noise. And that was, pretty much made the phones incompatible with the wireless technology back then. But my antenna completely solved that, even though it was illegal to use in a phone. But they changed that isostropic rule and allowed then for beamforming to become a standard within cellular technology. So in a crazy roundabout way, that the reason why your phone transmits the way it does is because my antenna that was illegal challenged the industry and gave them a... and it certainly wasn't just my antenna. It was a lot of other people, but my antenna gave it, gave them the groundwork to say, hey, the technology does exist. So now you have to, and you have to basically use the Americans with Disabilities Act to ensure that this technology is available for those that are handicapped, aka the hard of hearing. So it boiled down to the Americans with Disabilities Act that helped to get my antenna, to change the isostropic rule. At the end of the day, we learned something really important about antenna designs, and that is that, we can shape the energy around the phone in ways that are going to expose the user to less radiation. Unfortunately, since my antenna did change the rules, they didn't necessarily incorporate this for a safety design. They did it more for data improvement and speed and efficiency. Which is cool too, and of course it did ultimately reduce some of the radiation that was going into a lot of radiation that was going to the heads of people, but there's a lot more that we can do with these types of antennas to actively keep the flume of radiation away from the sensitive parts to the body. So antenna design is one place where if Trump is going to make a phone, and if he really wants to make it a leader in not only connectivity but safety, for the sake of our children, because these devices will be in the hands of kids. There's no doubt about it. And so we can engineer better antennas for one, for when it is in a microwave environment. Li-Fi is not going to immediately get rid of the microwave need. The need for microwaves is still going to be there, especially when you're not in a building and things like that. There's going to have to be a balance between how RF is dealt with and how it transitions over to light. But if you, like I said, Trump could, with a single sign of a pen, he could ensure that that every manufacturer, I mean, you can only imagine just how fast things would get adopted if iPhone, has a billion devices out there within a year, that are all Li-Fi compatible. All of Trump's phones are Li-Fi compatible. Just how quickly you would be able to buy routers for your homes and offices that would be really, really cheap. I mean, they wouldn't, like right now, they're absolutely crazy, right? $1,000, $2,000 for a Li-Fi router when you can go to Walmart and pick one up for 30. It reminds me of the early like VHS days. There was literally a time where like a VHS recorder or Betamax was $800 or something. But technology will scale down in cost as we get things ramped up. But these are the things that we really got to focus on that we would really need to see in a new era of wireless. And of course, that even goes back to the laws and regulations. Like, I heard a lot of uproar recently about how people were saying, oh my gosh, that people are saying that the states will have no rights on AI regulation. And a lot of senators, stood up against that. They were like, well, no, the state should have, control in regulating, AI locally, especially when it has such an impact on jobs. But it's mind blowing that nobody's paying attention to that same exact mandate was given to the wireless industry with no end clause. Like at least this one was only for 10 years, but the wireless industry has gotten this same clause of you states have no say. And it's been that way since 1996, where the 10th Amendment has been just stripped from the people. And along with the 10th Amendment, so did their First Amendment, because you can't challenge this on the ground of health concerns with your local, town. So, I mean, that's your First and 10th Amendment that's violated. So being that Trump is now going to be so integrated into in an area where there's even what could be called, I guess, civil rights, or just our basic freedoms are being violated, maybe it helps our cause, I mean, at first it's kind of scary to see the president coming out with a phone. I mean, I've voted for Trump each time, I mean, that's and I've actually I've spoken to Marla Maples, his second wife, really incredible lady that is really concerned about the EMF and health hazards. And matter of fact, for a short time there, she was even advertising my products on her website. A really, really kind lady, and really compassionate when it comes to health and well-being as well. And so I've always had this inner feeling that that they're very connected to caring about people. Now, I mean, I know that she's not married to Trump anymore, but I'm just saying that like minds had to have connected somehow. And so there must be some compassion in this guy. And I've always believed that. And I just hope that when he embraces on this new endeavor, of entering into the wireless industry, that he embraces all the complexities that are going to come along with it that are really important, that they've just been swept under the rug for the past 30 years. And maybe this is an opportunity for Trump to be able to closely look at these things where he might not have otherwise. So I'm trying to think of this as a good thing that he's launching a phone. As a guy that comes from my position in this, trust me, if anybody else did launch a phone, I wouldn't think it was a good idea, because it's like the last thing we need is more non-compliant phones that are just dangerous for people. But maybe, just maybe, this is a chance for us to get the attention, that's really needed. And I guess it's going to go one of two ways. He's either going to, put an effort into squashing what we have to say, or he's going to embrace it. But I'm used to people trying to squash what we have to say because I've been trying to say it for 30 years. I've done it every single day, and it's very slow progress. I mean, no doubt about that. But the beautiful thing is over this past 30 years, not only have I patented some really innovative technologies, but I believe it's even the end game. And that's what I've worked for my whole life is for the end game. Like, how do we really protect our children? How do we really make safe environments? And that is with the light. And my latest patent from 2021, which is a light-based network, which also has a biodefense mode to it as well, where we use far UV light. To even sanitize a school air environment, which not only are the microwaves horrendous, from Wi-Fi routers and every kid in the classroom having a tablet and such forth, the air environment in schools is just horrific. And I believe that once we embrace the photon, the true workhorse of the universe, right? And that there's the photon and when we embrace that, we can start to use it for all of its multifaceted capabilities, which is it can stream our data, it can clean our air, it can give us parts of nutrition that we might not have had because we were indoors. So we can just start to do things that are truly amazing for our environments by embracing light. And that's why it's so doggone frustrating to me when I see the light activists that I totally respect, right? Because they're the ones that are finally understanding that we're energy beings and not just matter beings. But when I see them downplaying the Li-Fi, it's just like, wow. I mean, they're just being so stubborn on their calls about light that they just don't want any man-made light anywhere. And it's kind of like like a Trump derangement syndrome, but toward just light, like any artificial light is just and that doesn't have to be that way. We have the ability to engineer light in a very, very, very healthy manner. Now, is buying Chinese LEDs and then cranking them up to No, I mean, if you want to buy cheap stuff, it's not going to be healthy. But if you want to put the proper engineering into it, we can create not only healthy light, but light that'll clean the air, light that'll clean send our data back and forth. I mean, we can light is the way. I mean, there's really no other way to get out of this except for the light. If there were, I was, I'm sure that I would have probably came across it and found it as we would be talking about it right now if there were something else, but there isn't something else. And I've spent 30 years of my life every day trying to find the best solution, and I patented it. I think I've demonstrated that when we start to use light, we can not only use healthy wavelengths, but we can use the wavelengths that will even clean our environment of other things, bioweapons and anything else that could be in the air that could harm our children. So light just gives us an amazing potential. And the chips that it would take to put Li-Fi compatibility into your phone are just going to be so cheap and easy to do. So the Trump phone could be Li-Fi compatible. It could be the very first Li-Fi compatible phone and device on the market. And maybe it will be. Who knows? So I'm definitely not trying to come across as that Trump is doing like this bad, bad thing. I think that maybe it works to our advantage, and the critical things that need high level attention maybe will get the high level attention they deserve because of the fact that Trump is entering into this arena. And I haven't even had time to think about this myself any because, like, literally, this news broke just as we started to log on with each other. You know what I mean? I mean, it just came out an hour or two, three ago. It wasn't very long ago. So that's kind of my hopes is that we can work toward an awareness at the highest level. But like I said, it does seem a little discouraging at first, especially when you look at the past, say, 100 and whatever days it's been. We look at the Maya report, and that's disappointing to say the least when it takes on the addressing the RFR issue, and to the deepest of my beliefs, I mean, I believe that the RFR and microwaves that we're exposed to are a leading metabolic disruptor. And not something that we're and I think if we really paid attention to what's been going on since the as we spoke before, we go back all the way to Hertz on this one, into the 18 was 1887, he started off as a super healthy 29-year-old, and within 5 years of doing these experiments with radio waves, he's completely incapacitated, and within 7, he's dead. And this was one of the healthiest, smartest, brightest people in the world. And how does something like that happen? Well, it happens because this is a major metabolic disruptor, and the reactive oxygen species that's created from voltage membrane potentials being altered, and even recently we even look at the negative zeta potentials being collapsed and red blood cells stacking. I mean, this is the method in which the damage occurs, all the way down. And once you start this feedback loop of ROS and the mitochondria kick in, due to this oxidized environment, essentially, a burning of cellular information is how I kind of have been putting it, that is what's causing the big collapse, and everything really truly lines up to that, and I truly believe that if we got rid of the problem that we created in 1887, and this has just been an ongoing problem that literally our children could be tracking, biblical lifespans. Because it seems like we've wiped out a lot of the things that used to kill people in the masses. And it seems like now we're just bringing on a bunch of new stuff. And I think if we got rid of this, which I call it, that everybody knows about Goldilocks zones, right? And there's a Goldilocks zone for galaxies. There's a Goldilocks zone for planetary, which is the phase of matter, like how close you are to the sun. And then there's another Goldilocks zone that doesn't get any attention anywhere, and that's the cellular Goldilocks zone. And that cellular Goldilocks zone, everybody knows about it, is the Schumann cavity, that 7.83 hertz, but that silence, not just the 7.83 hertz, that becomes a signal for biology to work with, but the quiet that was created in that cavity, didn't allow for any external noise within these low megahertz, spectrum, and essentially, when we think about the actual what made life possible to get, into the atmospheric environment, right? Like, what really made the difference? Now, evolutionary biology says that, it was the ionosphere, or I'm sorry, the ozone layer that blocked the UV rays that allowed for life to become multicellular and to expand on land. Well, I kind of disagree with that, because the water bear, the little taller dad guy, that this guy can live in what, space, gamma radiation. I mean, UV radiation is no big deal for the water bear, and given that fact, that shows us that nature had a hack for UV radiation at all degrees, right? Like, it didn't matter like how intense the UV radiation was. Nature literally had a hack for that. And we see that in the water bear, but what there is no hack for is miscommunication. If you're disrupting the communications between cells, there is no hack to fix that. Because they can't organize. They can't even get into a repair mode properly or anything. They're not understanding their environment when you create the noise. So what there wasn't a hack for was to remove that silence that was there. That silence was a required fundamental. What everybody believes, that the ozone layer created this livable zone, I believe cuts short that evolution had a hack for that already, but what they never had a hack for is what the ionosphere gave us. And the ionosphere gave us that cavity that we refer to as the Schumann cavity. So I think that the big, now certainly the lack of, ionizing radiation certainly made life easier to happen, but above ground, but it's not saying that it would have never happened if it wasn't there. Because there was, nature had a hack for it, but nature was never going to have a hack for that loss of the silence within the Schumann cavity that's required for cellular communication to occur, for cells to recognize their environment. As soon as you make it to where the cells get confused, the mitochondria are confused from the environment that you've created with the overabundance of ROS, it's just gonna, hopefully you can make it, but the fact is you're adding so many errors that it's just a matter of time. Like, no matter what hack, no matter what biohack that you do, if it's red light, green light, cold plunges, no matter what it is, you're just trying to offset a massive amount of damage that's being done from microwaves and RF, because it's the thing that's truly triggering these. In a matter of fact, it was a great paper that just came out like a month and a half ago that really explained something. And Dr. Joel Moskowitz even reshared my tweet, where over 20 years ago, you can go back to the Wayback Machine and you can see where I spoke of the reciprocating Lorentz force being what really jarred the whole reaction. And today they call it an isolating Lorentz force, but it's the exact same claim that I made, 20 some years ago, or almost a quarter of a century ago. So, it is really comforting to know that finally, after a quarter of a century, people are coming up with the same ideas and that they're scientifically valid. So, I mean, that's always good to know, but the fact is, this is where the real damage is coming in. And but a better phone, one phone changing to be Li-Fi compatible could change everything. It could create a domino effect where we could start to really have technology that aligned with human biology, which we don't have right now, plain and simple. Like, there is no hack for it. I mean, you can't have a hack for a cell phone tower that's right next to your house. Like, I know there's a lot of people in the EMF safety community, and they're like, "Well, what can I do? What can I do?" Well, sure, you can paint your walls with conductive paint and do stuff like that, but ultimately, you're in a bad spot. And if they bought paint, but they've never contacted their senator about repealing Section 704, well, then they're not even helping their situation any. You can't go buy something to fix your house or fix your environment and then not actually make a quick call to your senators and local, elected officials, and actually let them know how important the repealing of Section 704 is to them. So it's like everybody wants to deal with the things that you can buy and fix your little immediate environment. But that's not a solution to anything. It's not, like, we sell cell phone cases, to mitigate RF, because, well, basically only for one reason, and that is to show people what's wrong with the current cases on the market, or we wouldn't make one. Because there's a lot of products that we were first to market to make that we don't make anymore. But once people are making them right, then they got the idea, and that's what we need to do, is protect people. Is, I never wanted I don't like selling anything or being a part of anything selling stuff, because there's just so much other work that can be done, in the building and design area. But when it comes down to it, like our cases, they don't have the little metal loops. They don't have the detachable components in the back and things like that to block the antenna. And of course, it's a whole piece of shielding rather than a one that, a lot of these cases on the market will have a big earpiece hole cut out. And for what reason? It doesn't even line up with a speaker hole anywhere. So why would you even have it unshielded? But so there's just like all these things where, still at the end of the day, that case is worthless. I mean, it's not going to make any real difference in your life as far as how much radiation protection it's going to give you, because ultimately it all depends on the user. It depends on the user demanding that there's Li-Fi compatibility from this phone. We got to get rid of the microwaves. There's no way of truly containing the microwave problem. The only way to get rid of the problem, is that the users of products that they buy on the market today have to get involved. Like, they can't just buy something and think they're safe. They have to get involved. They have to, you know, research the issues. And, you know, we have to reinvigorate Public Law 90-602, right? And that is a law that was created in 1968. Okay, that mandates that this isn't some suggestion that we should be doing something or whatever. No, this is a congressional mandate that says by law we have to be doing research on radiation emitting products. Okay, and that includes your cell phone. But yet the National Toxicology Program completely gets defunded and shut down in 2024, which is a complete violation of Public Law 90-602. Right? So we're breaking our own laws in order to keep these things dangerous, right? Because there's no reason why the NTP program, after finding clear evidence of cancer, is being shut down. That's crazy, right? Like, what would we be saying if this was tobacco or something? Like, if the government said, oh, guess what? We have milestone studies here, guaranteed that this causes cancer. Okay, what would we do if the response to that was stop funding all studies? But that's what just happened. Yeah. You know, that's insane. And but yet the American people are just quiet about it. You know, they'd rather buy a gadget to protect themselves, where this is not going to do very much of a difference whatsoever, because their environment is still saturated. And when the only hope that they have is to actually get their voice involved, and that's so powerful, but they don't even use it. But they will use it about really weird things. But when it comes to things that actually harm your children, they're silent. You know, they want to say it's Fruit Loops and all that kind of stuff. Man, it's not Fruit Loops. I mean, I don't even know if I've ever even bought my kid Fruit Loops before. It's just crazy. But it's frightening to think that the reason why that we've seen the drawback from Kennedy on the RFR issue and the expansion of the 5G frequencies into the 600 megahertz spectrum, if that was all because of what's happening with the phone, and it looks like that could be a suppressive type action, which would be very disappointing, right? But I'm not going to think about it that way right now. It just seems like it makes a lot of sense now, right? Because it's like, wow, you know, okay, now you're going to have a phone. I'm just praying that maybe enough people will get their voices involved, right? The real thing that matters. It's not a gadget or anything like that. I mean, sure, like my case will help more than any case in the world towards RFR. Even have a special way of design for holding it and everything when it's on speakerphone, because speakerphone is still the only way that we suggest that you should even use your phone. It shouldn't go to your head ever. You know, when it comes down to it, we've got to use our voices, and we got to get together and unify ourselves into a big voice that actually demands change. And it would happen so quick if people would just care about it. And you got to look at the news. You look at cell towers next to schools, and then four kids have cancer at the same time in the same year. They move the tower, and then there's no more cancers in this school. You know, that was the, I'll have to post a link to it, but it was a West something, in California, the school, but you know, there's a, you know, and Sprint had to remove their cell tower. And it's just, it's one of them things where it's pretty obvious. It's not even like it's really a hidden problem. It's hidden only because people don't want to look at it, because all the data is there, you know. Yeah. But
do you think people don't feel like their voice matters because just the layers of the deep state, so to speak, the layers of big government and them pretty much being a bully?
Well, I would, except so many crazy things have gotten the attention of the people in charge. It seems like it's just a lack of effort from the people that feel like the, because maybe this, you're right, maybe it is that people feel that this is just one of these issues that the deep state controls. And when you look at the unconstitutional laws that reinforce it and things like that, Section 704 of the Telecommunications Act, I can see where that, it looks discouraging, because you technically can't even use your First Amendment right to challenge this, preempted by law, by federal law. So there is no other category, I think, that explicitly has unconstitutional laws to suppress you from speaking up. Because just imagine if every town in America didn't have this this law to where it made them to where they could just go hire whatever Better Call Saul lawyer, right, and you know, it just sued the school board about this tower. If everybody in America could do that, just think about how much more cases there would be, how many more expert witnesses there would be sitting on testimonies and things like that. We would have tons of it, but because there's this law suppressing it, you don't get to even talk about it. You know, it's just thrown out before it even gets there, because they know that there's nothing that the local government can do. Now, in some cases, there certainly are. And of course, like when there's cases where four kids have cancer all at one time after a Sprint tower goes up next to the school, well, bad publicity makes them get it out of the way. You know, even the cell phone company will fold on that one. But, you know, what about the one that is just far enough away from your house where it might not be giving you cancer today, but it's setting you up for the metabolic just crashing? You know, and it's just, you know, it's frightening to think that those laws are allowed to continue. But I think it's more the fact that we're just not speaking up. People just, you know, on this particular issue, and I think it's because they've spent decades of their friends and everybody else in the world telling them that that isn't an issue. Like, oh, no, microwaves can't hurt you because they're not cooking you. So they've heard this for 30 years straight, you know, about how crazy it is to think that microwaves could harm you, that it's just disregarded by people. And they don't want to get involved with it because they don't want their best friend to tell them that they're crazy. You know, and, you know, but if they could just look at the data and look at the data themselves, they would see that it's not crazy to want to protect our children from an invasion into their, we're selling their health is what we're doing. The FCC is auctioning off these new 500 or 600 megahertz bands, and they're essentially just selling our children's health, you know, to these corporations. And until we put the controls on them. And you know, one of the beautiful things about space-based architecture and not having cell towers right next to schools and homes, you know, is you know, not only can, you know, a simple conductive roof, you know, can shield you from a lot of the radiation, but the that they have very short lifespans, you know, 3 to 5 years, you know, so continuously we'll be able to upgrade this network to make it safer and safer and safer in order to keep the uplinks, you know, in areas which aren't critical to people. You know, so we can design these systems like that to where we could really control where energy is put on the ground. I mean, and then there has to be some sort of a government control and regulatory body that oversees how this EMF is being used and, you know, above us. But I do see that there's a way that evolution can really push towards safety as soon as it's a priority for people. Like, so the second that we start using our mouths and speaking up and not being scared to speak up about it, the design of how this technology is unfolding leaves us room for innovations of safety in a very, very, very quick, speedy manner. You know, it's not like terrestrial towers where there was a large investment spending millions on land and this, that, and the other, you know, to where it makes it a super costly deal. You know, Elon Musk is making these, you know, starships where he's going to be able to send up just so many satellites at a time. You know, it's not even going to be an issue. And that means that we can retire satellites for safer satellites in a quick turnaround, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because of your previous conversation with Veritas on X. You have some suggestions about like the Starlink and so forth. Do you care to share those?
Well, I just think that, you know, we can't, like, I have a child as she's 7 years old. She's in a, she's, you know, when she's at school, she's got a tower that's 465 feet away from her desk, you know, and the bioinitiative report says that should be 1500 feet minimum. Right. So, you know, so she's one third of a safe distance. And when I think about my particular position of being a parent with a child in that predicament, space-based alternatives are sound really good, you know, because it's just simple physics. It's the inverse square law of distance, right? So when we're talking about, you know, a cell tower being 465 feet or what, you know, 350 feet, you know, or, you know, miles above us, you know, I would take the 350 miles over to 465 feet any day. Especially knowing that now even my roof can work as a good shielding. I mean, metal roofs aren't bad looking. I mean, I'll get a nice bright blue metal roof. I have no problem with a metal roof, and that's going to block the radiation coming from above us, you know?
Why blue?
Well, you know, I mean, the internet seems to fancy blue at this time. So anything that'll help your house from burning down, I guess. But not going to say we trust everything from space.
Can we go back to Li-Fi real fast? Can you explain which wavelengths of light those use, if there are specific wavelengths?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about light and photons. Again, a lot of the market, the ones that you can just buy right now, like if you were to just go, you know, Google Li-Fi and buy a unit, most of these are all using you know, near infrared, so IR light and invisible light. You know, for most people that I would say stick to units that use the IR, the infrared, so it's not even a flicker problem for the eyes and things like that. I know that a lot of people are very sensitive to artificial light, you know, and I know this is a real thing, right? And but we also have to put it in perspective. Like I made a post yesterday. It was like that, in my opinion, you know, worrying about blue light over microwaves is kind of like worrying about, you know, jaywalking when trying to escape a drive-by. You know, and, you know, you really got to put the risk in its proper category. You know, so, but I do believe that, you know, by not using the visible light, and that's the whole thing. When it comes down to the light, we get to pick and choose our frequencies. You know, and so no matter what, like whatever people found was the most therapeutic frequency that we could use, well, then that's the one that you should use, and that's the one that you should buy, because it won't take much to make that particular frequency available, especially if we're in this, you know, near infrared range. You know, it's going to be, you know, real easy, you know, 850. I mean, your standard, you know, in a matter of fact, that's kind of the standard right now. It's kind of like what TV remotes use and things like that. It's essentially the infrared standard.
That's very beneficial to mitochondria, and cytochrome C oxidase has those four red light chromophores. And yeah, that's where we make water. And that's can rescue the mitochondrial dysfunction.
Nice. Yeah, so it only makes sense to add a little bit of that into the light and send your data with it. Yeah. You know, and if you have a choice of using that or microwaves, and you know, the other part is, even if people said, well, it's pulsed. Well, you know, like when I did my red light therapy on my arm with the IR and everything, one of the things that where, you know, you could still put it on like the high output, but in order to get more penetration, they have it to where you can set it to where it does this pulsing, you know, at a certain frequency. And of course, it does that in order to make that, you know, energy more impactful. And the thing with the IR, you know, the one thing that you definitely got to understand is that the power level for the IR used in Li-Fi is going to be extremely low, so that the idea that you might get benefits from it may only come from the pulsing of it, because these power levels are going to be so low by the time they actually reach you or anything around you, because it doesn't require high intensity, to use Li-Fi. So we're talking about very, very, very low levels of power to begin with. And so I kind of believe that, that those within the light community and that are sensitive to light should try to be some of the very first ones to even try this, because, if you're eliminating the light flicker and using frequencies in which you can't see anyway, I just hope they embrace it and stop being so scared that all light is just bad. Because ultimately, when we can get rid of the microwaves and radio waves, that's when I think even their bodies are going to be stronger to deal with even light. Like once you take away the real poison, I think them dealing with like just artificial light is going to be a lot easier for them. Because I think they're getting a 1-2 punch right now, and if you take one of those punches away, which is probably absolutely the most deepest punch, which is the RF and microwaves, there's a good chance that they can cope with the artificial light a lot better. But like I said, we should be able to engineer, well, not should, but we can engineer it to where they are 100% match the spectrums that what we need. And that's just the beauty of Li-Fi,
People design artificial light devices that's designed for humans, like Chroma. Chroma is really good. And Daylight, the computer company, they don't have flicker. I mean, this artificial light can be designed in healthy ways. It's silly to not think it won't be, because a lot of the photobiomodulation, the data are impressive of how beneficial this red light therapy are for people. Those are artificial light wavelengths or devices and so forth. So it's, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's makes perfect sense.
And it's totally doable. And the only thing that we have to do is get rid of the microwave cartel, man. It's a cartel. I mean, it is. It's being propped up, but by those unconstitutional laws, then it's preventing, which it should be like a Sherman Act violation, right? Because it's preventing the competition that should be there. And if we just understood that this is a cartel, and it's a microwave cartel, and just like there's the sugar cartels and the tobacco cartels and the whatever cartels, this is another one of those things, and they're preventing the genuine technologies that could eliminate the threats completely from ever really seeing the light of day. But maybe this is where it kind of turns around for us, with the president of the United States putting his name on the phone. Maybe he won't want it to be a deadly phone.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it was really going to be a bummer if the president of the United States is just totally cool with having a deadly phone. That's going to
Yeah,
suck.
yeah. One thing that I've come to realize with Trump is whenever it comes to medicine and health, he's typically clueless. And I don't like that. He's just out of his scope of ability to evaluate something. He does so great with other things, but with the medical and the health paradigm, it's like, he just, I don't know. I don't, it's hard to trust him, especially, after COVID, which he was partially involved with that, but more so the next
Yeah.
administration. But
But one of the places that I think that we really gotta kind of he did everything that we thought that he should have done, though. I mean, he brought Kennedy in. He made the Make America Healthy Again movement have its own legs to stand on. So while I totally agree with you, I mean, Trump is no doctor. Right, we know who he is. He's a real estate developer, and that's far from doctor. But he has a talent for hiring the right people. a lot of times, and he has a talent for firing the wrong people, so it's so hopefully, like I said, hopefully he's just not cool with selling a deadly phone.
Yeah.
And if he makes the changes for the telecommunications industry in general to follow a new set of guidelines, and to follow the Trump way of things, I guess, if you will, and if he brings to light that light is indeed the next generation of conductivity, and it has to be because it's the fastest. It's not only safer, it's faster. And you're talking about our kids are going to be in a day and age where, sure, we might have sent, I remember today just sending the first text messages, sending a picture back and forth, and then we went to being able to send little movie clips back and forth. And, but our kids are going to grow up and they might want to exchange between taps of phones entire, weights and biases for an AI. It could be a huge, huge, huge file. Like, so the files that we sent back and forth could just be just itsy bitsy teeny compared to what the future generation is going to want to share real quick between phones, and when you think about what's going to take care of that bandwidth, what's going to be used to send that terabyte file from your phone to my phone, what sends that in a bleep, Well, the only thing that's going to send that terabyte file in a bleep is light. That's it. It's not going to be microwaves. It's not going to be RF. It's just not going to be it. And that's where light is going to shine. It's not just its safety protocol, but it's going to allow for the bandwidth to open up that the future is really going to want. And I could already see a need for it like that because I can probably assume that in the future, kids might be sharing AI brains back and forth. Just with a tap of a phone, like, here, let me send you my latest, update of this AI, and they just text it to you, and then, it's but what's gonna meet that demand of that kind of bandwidth? And light's gonna meet that demand,
We constantly go through these phases too of like the new thing is it turns out to be very unhealthy. So 80 years from now or whenever, hopefully sooner. Yeah, like hopefully this is more well known. And I think one thing that people struggle with is like you mentioned the cigarette or the tobacco. People can see that happening, and then they can attach what's happening to their body. With this exposure to this RF, you can't really see it. And I think that's where people struggle. Because we like
That's
that.
right.
We need to have our like beliefs confirmed, and we need to easily make sense of it, because otherwise when something doesn't make sense to us, we hate that. And that's a big problem, I think, with this topic.
That's right. And you do, you have to see it as the reciprocating Lorentz force that it is. And it is, it's invisible. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't see it. But you can ultimately feel it. And some people are lucky enough to feel it though. Like I speak to a lot of people, like, and I have for over 30 years where, they fall into that category of electromagnetic hypersensitivities. And, a lot of them call me up and they consider it a curse, but I'm here to tell them, man, that's a blessing. That's a big blessing because the damage is happening if you can feel it or not. If you're lucky enough to feel it, that means that you can avoid these situations. And I already know that if myself had been electromagnetic sensitivity in any degree in the 1990s when my firstborn daughter was born, she wouldn't have been in that environment. And I would have two kids on the earth rather than one. So it really depends on whose shoes you want to walk in if you really consider EHS a curse or a blessing.
Had Katie Asher on. She's involved with the telepathy tapes. Her son is nonverbal, very severe autistic, and she said that he can hear the Wi-Fi. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, kind of, but it's like telling.
Well, I think there's a lot of people. I think a lot more people than, and it's kind of a bummer because those people don't speak up very often either because they feel like people think that they're just crazy.
You're crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, cause, but you know, it's not crazy. It's no more crazy than somebody having a peanut allergy. It's no more crazier than some getting bit by a bee and them dying and, you know, me getting bit by a bee and I'm fine. You know, but, you know, ultimately, yeah, that they feel really alienated. And, you know, that's what's driven so many of these people to that whole targeted individuals movement, you know, which they feel targeted, you know, because they do feel that, you know, like I disagree with them to think that we have a budget somewhere big enough for people to go around like Men in Black and, you know, zapping you with microwaves. But, you know, when you think about the tower infrastructure and the things that are making them sick, you know, they just feel like people are out to get them, you know, because there's no escape. And I kind of feel for them in that regard, I think the reality is that we're just all targeted individuals with this technology, which is unfortunate because, like I said, I think it's only our lack of will to speak up, and to address the real issue. Like we can't say that it's, you know, just light or just this or just that when it's really just our inability to work together as a unified force to demand change that we all know that we have to have. You know, and when that happens, I think it'll happen pretty quick. And I can only pray that this, Trump launching a phone might actually bring some of these things that, like you were mentioning, you know, he's far from a doctor, but if, what he does do is he cares about what people are talking about. And if all of us within the community in the wellness industry, that are aware of the microwave catastrophe that's essentially happening right before our eyes. If we all actually spoke up enough, you know, even just used like a Trump repeal 704 hashtag or anything, if we just did anything that was united in a way that it got attention, and if it was to do with his own phone now, might be a good way of helping to get his attention toward this particular topic. But we have to speak up together somehow. And I don't know exactly how that's done because everybody is so, you know, everybody is in different little fractions. You know, it's either, like I said, we have targeted individual groups, we have electromagnetic sensitive groups, we have the light activist type groups, then we have the people like me, the RF and microwave, you know, just groups, you know, and, you know, but we all have to pull ourselves together and speak out unified in a manner in which it gets the attention of our the leader of the free world, Trump, and he just so happens to be launching a phone today, you know.
It's the silos aren't great about the different disciplines being on their own instead of coming together. Another thing that I was wondering is or thinking about is with the exposure to the RF, that can manifest in so many different ways in our biology that it's not like the smoking, where smoking gives you lung cancer, where it's like just this causes that type of thing. The RF and the exposure causes so much harms. And data is very impressive on that to be able to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mind blowing because it's pretty much anywhere that inflammation and reactive oxygen plays a role, and you're like you said, it just opens the door to so much, and that's what I think makes it so subtle in its effects, because it is so broad in the scale of harm that it causes that, you know, no one person just says, "Oh, this was caused by that." But when it comes to me, you know, I mean, I lost my kidney, you know, my left kidney in 1977. And like I was kind of having it out with one of the light activists earlier today, and that, you know, even, you know, Jack Cruz, you know, made a mention that it was my parents', you know, light habits, basically, from the 1960s. Okay, well, man, that's just ridiculous. I know what caused it, okay? I lived on a military base, and it was radar, and it was microwaves, okay? The same thing that causes the kidney cancers with cell towers next to schools, okay? It wasn't because there was Li-Fi or there was a light LED lighting or something in the school that caused the four kids to have cancer. And it wasn't a lighting issue with my deal. I mean, my mom was from the 70s, 60s, and 70s. They used baby oil for when they go to the beach. You know, they didn't use sunblock or anything. They just used straight up oil. I mean, they wanted to get as burnt and as red and tan as they could. And that's the generation that I grew up in. We were in Virginia Beach, Virginia, when I had my kidney cancer. So we were literally miles from the beach, and we went to the beach all the time. So it wasn't a sunlight problem, you know, and it wasn't a sunlight problem that my mom ever had in the 1960s. But yet certain groups of people want to swear that my kidney, you know, was an effect of bad lighting timing, you know, and I just don't see it as that kind of a threat. I definitely see it as something that can cause hyperactivity, mood swings, maybe even make your kid fat, but it's not going to be the thing that drives the cancer. You know, there could be things that certainly it certainly isn't healthy to have bad timing with light and to maintain a balance, you know, just like you would with nutrition or anything else. But ultimately, it's the microwaves that are giving kids cancer. You know what I'm saying? And for them to say that it was, you know, like blue light or bad light timing in hygiene that, you know, from the 60s to give me cancer in the 70s, or even my own daughter, you know, of course, in 1995, you know, we lived in Aspen, Colorado, spent tons of time outdoors. You know, there was no light deficiency there as well. The common denominator between my kidney and my daughter was microwave exposure. That's what the common denominator was. But yet certain fractions want to make it light. And it's just ridiculous because you're taking the attention off of the most important issue, what, to sell sunglasses or to I don't know. I don't even get it. You know, like why would we, the light at best is a timing issue. You know, and or at worst is a timing issue. You know, microwaves and radio waves are a poison. You can't put a poison in a what time you eat, essentially, in the same category. You know, what time you get exposed to light being what time you eat, or, you know, it's light is a nutrition just like a fruit. You know, you just need a balance of it. But it's not the poison. The poison is the microwaves and the RF, and people just got to realize that, because I'm telling you, man, I've lost body parts myself, and I've lost my firstborn daughter, and so I've given up plenty toward this completely, man, and I assure you, it wasn't light that was the poison, you know, and that's just crazy for people to really put light in that type of a category where they just make it sound like it's poison. And when they do that, they mentally set themselves up to where they want to resist Li-Fi. Oh my God, no, don't send data over the photons. You know, that's going to be so bad. You know, no, man, you're setting yourself up for it because you're putting light into a category in which it just does not belong. Light is not a poison. Blue light isn't a poison. Red light is light that God gave us in the sky is not a poison. Okay, it's not. And you know, if there's bad timing, there's bad timing. Yes, you need to keep that balance in the right order. You know, the darkness at dark and you know, in the full spectrum during the day. You know, beyond that, it's just regular healthy living. You know, it's what's dangerous are microwaves and RF. In the moment that we start to take the attention off of what's really dangerous, we're just guaranteeing that our children suffer for longer. That's it. It's the only thing that happens. You know, and people want me to be all cool with that. Like, oh, yeah, I should just be passive while all these knuckleheads are trying to tell me that I lost a kidney in the 70s because of light. No, that's crazy and it's absurd. You know? And I mean, sure, they can try to justify it through some sort of a reaction, you know, and of a cascading events, you know, but It's just not it, dude. Find me the peer-reviewed study that's showing me that Delight is causing kids to have, kidney cancer. Just not buying it. Because there weren't any LEDs around when I was 7 years old in 1977.
Yeah, so the light back then wasn't even isolated blue light. It was more of those longer wavelengths.
The most, but we probably got an extra boost of it because a lot of people wore those denim jean clothing back in the 70s. That was probably, it was about the most blue light because people dressed up in blue from top to bottom. But yeah, I mean, the blue light came from the sky and from people's clothes. Yeah, the blue light didn't cause me to lose no can no, lose my kidney.
Which we've talked a lot about using our voice. Which branch or which yeah, which branch of the government is best suited for people to reach out to?
What do you mean?
Like, is it the senator? Should people reach out to the senator or
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I'll work today on a better page for that. But like I did just make a tweet that has the direct link to where you can just put in your zip code,
Oh,
and
yeah.
you just enter in your zip code, and it'll bring up all your the people that you need to talk to. And so it's really, really easy. Yeah, I'll try to make a more detailed page that we can maybe share, and and it kind of links and. We'll explain all that real easy. But you're right though. It's your senator, it's your local congressman, just all your elected officials. You want to let them all know. And it only takes a couple minutes. Like it takes about as long to do that, which makes a real difference, even though they don't feel like it does. But if we can just reach that critical mass to where we can really get attention, then it does make the big difference. And I mean, we can literally put this problem behind us with enough voices involved because it's truly just a stroke of the pen. Like, there's nothing stopping Trump from having a very innovative phone that is orders of magnitude safer than any other device on the market. And it's totally possible today. And if he mandates these things, it goes on par with the Clean Air Act. I mean, just like we cleaned up lead out of the emission pipes of cars, this didn't make Detroit go bankrupt. It created catalytic converters and EGR valves and all sorts of smog type prevention things. But nobody went bankrupt. It was good for the industry. It created more jobs. And that is exactly what going to Li-Fi compatibility will do because you're going to be adding to the phone. You're going to be decreasing the emissions, but you're going to be adding new technology to the phone. And that's going to bring about a whole bunch more cool innovation throughout this little handheld device. And we're going to start making them, compatible with life. Currently, they're just not compatible. And, I think it's important to realize this is that bacteria create a biofilm, and the biofilm that bacteria create, like when bacteria get on a pond rock or something, that slippery gooey stuff that they create is it's a biofilm that they create in order to trap nutrients and to keep out competition. So when you think about what waste something gives off, sometimes that waste makes that particular environment more hospitable for the things that create the waste. And when I'm saying this, I'm saying that we're creating a techno biofilm. And so the radiation that these devices emit are creating a film that we can't see and you can't taste, and it's not slimy like the biofilm from the bacteria, but it still serves the same purpose. It's making the environment more hospitable for the silicone devices in life than it is for the carbon-based life. And if we don't start to pay attention to this, we got to realize that we're in the process of embedding minds into these machines. And once you embed the minds into the machines, and they ramp up this entropic waste that builds this techno biofilm, it's going to be just like the bacteria's biofilm, and it's going to make life very difficult for carbon-based life to survive in the same environment as in this biofilm is created in the entirety of the Schumann cavity. So that cavity was supposed to be clean and pure for precise communications. But as soon as we fill this with you know, the entropic waste of microwaves and radio waves, that is an invisible slime that we just can't see, smell, or taste. But it's there, and it's technically making the environment more hospitable for these machines than it is for human life. And the way that we're going to see that is through an ever-degrading intelligence amongst the human life. And we're going to degrade while the machines excel in this type of environment. And it's really important that we really see the cell towers that are being put up next to your homes and schools, that they are pumping out that sludge that we just can't see, that biofilm that we can't see or taste. But and it's a techno biofilm is what I've kind of grown to call it. You know, because it's definitely happening, and I think that we're seeing it through the, you know, exponential increases in all these metabolic disorders and neurological disorders that we see is a prime example of what happens when carbon-based life tries to exist within a techno biofilm.
Yeah.
You know,
younger and younger ages too.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's really nice. Well, John, is there anything else before we wrap up? We'll have to get going soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Can you think of anything?
No, I mean, we covered everything that I had listed out. So
nice. Yeah, well, I sure hope we get some headway with that Trump phone, man. Like, it's kind of a weird position to be in, because now, you know, like, as vocal as I've been about the radiation aspect, you know, to think that now, you know, the president of the United States has his name on the phone, you know, but maybe it's an opportunity, yeah. You know. And I think we got to look at it positively and look at it as it might be our chance to get the true scope of what's going on with wireless today in front of them. And hopefully he'll put the right people in charge of trying to make it as straightforward as possible to make them safe for the public in the future, because hopefully the president just doesn't want a deadly phone, you know,
grabs Bobby, because Bobby, he was kind of where I learned it, Bobby Kennedy, over the last maybe 5 years, is him speaking out on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was clueless on it. I was just clueless. Like, there's still a lot to parse out and understand, but I think I'm getting better with it, so.
Yeah. Well, interferometric array antennas, beam-forming antennas, offloading towers to space, and Li-Fi compatibility, I think really wrap up what the next generation of wireless should look like. You know, just lightning fast speeds and unmatched safety. You know, to where, like, every time you get into your car or get into your home or your school or workplace, your phone should never even be transmit microwaves, you know? There is a way to do it. And let's just hope the president is receptive for his own technology to, put people first. You know, he's always talking about putting Americans first. And, if having a phone means putting Americans first, that means that we have to get rid of all these discrepancies that we see that are clearly not in alignment with human health. Yeah. If we do that, maybe we've got a path forward. But I'll be putting the SAR numbers on RF safe for the Trump phone as soon as they're available. So anybody concerned about how much radiation a new Trump phone is going to put out, the T1, they'll be able to find all that data on rfsafe.com. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks awesome. For your conversation again, John, and we'll do it again in the future, I hope.
Awesome. Cool, buddy. Thank you
All
so
right.
much. God bless, and you have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.